Hello and welcome to the first episode of Supermates, the husband and wife Geekcast. I'm the husband in question, Chris Franklin.
And I'm the wife, Cindy.
This podcast is going to be a free-for-all of all things geeky. Comics, movies, TV shows, sci-fi, fantasy, classic horror, you name it, we like it, and we're going to talk about it. Cindy and I both love this stuff, and we talk about it all the time anyway. We thought we'd put our conversations out there for you to share.
And hopefully somebody will actually want to listen to this, but we'll see.
Do you, Chris, take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife? Do you promise to barrage her with obscure facts concerning comics, movies, TV shows, and toys?
I do.
And Cindy, do you take this man-child to be your lawfully wedded husband? Do you promise to humor him by engaging him in his obsessive ramblings, for better or worse, in pre-crisis or in post?
Sure, why not?
Then by the power invested in me by the High Father of the Fourth World, I now pronounce you Supermates. You may podcast with the bride.
Hello and welcome to episode 86 of Supermates, the husband and wife Geekcast. I'm Chris.
I'm Cindy.
And today we're celebrating 5 years of Supermates. Woohoo! Yes, 5 years ago in February of 2014, I convinced Cindy here to do a podcast.
Yeah.
Now, you can blame all this on Rob Kelly and Shag Matthews.
I still owe you boys.
I was a frequent commenter and listener to the Who's Who and Fire and Water podcast, and Rob invited me on to discuss a Power Record one week. Shag was busy. Before long, Rob and I were covering Power Records in earnest, and I wanted more. So I pitched the idea of doing a podcast of our own to my lovely enabling wife.
That's me.
And we couldn't decide on what it would be exactly, what it would be about. We tossed around a lot of ideas. We considered a JSA podcast since I was known as Earth 2 Chris back in those days. But Scott Gardner and Michael Bailey were already doing Tales of the JSA and doing a fine job of it, which unfortunately they don't do anymore, which is sad because I really love that show. But anyway, eventually we came upon just doing an open format where we could record the type of conversations we had anyway, just like any subject we wanted to talk about. To me, it seemed like a novel idea. At the time, I didn't know of any other husband and wife geeky podcast when we came to this decision, although I later learned there were a few, and there's been many more since. I'm not saying we inspired them in any way. But
we did.
Well, you can say that, but it's actually just a natural idea, too good to ignore, for a couple with the same interest and a desire to yak over a microphone.
Well, yeah. So.
We initially released episodes every 2 weeks. Can you believe that?
No. Oh, my gosh.
I don't know how we did that. I really don't. We covered all sorts of material, starting with comic romances, to animated series episodes, to toys, to comic TV shows and movies, to Star Trek, the James Robinson Starman series, our vacations at Disney and Universal Parks, and, of course, classic horror films.
Mm-hmm.
2 years into the run, we were asked to join the soon-to-be-launched Fire and Water Podcast Network, and the rest is history. In addition to Power Records with Rob, I've become co-host on Superman Movie Minute and have joined Ryan Daly on Batman Nightcast. Cindy and I have also guested on just about every show on the network at one time or another, and I also launched a series within a series on FW Presents called Where Does He Get Those Wonderful Toys, which I really need to get back to.
It's been
a very long time since I've done one.
But we have just been slammed at both of our respective jobs and everything going on in, you know, life.
Life happens, yeah. Last year, Cindy and I shifted our main focus away from Supermates to launch a new show, JLU Cast, where we could cover our favorite versions of the DC characters from the DCAU or the Timverse, by chronicling every episode of the animated Justice League and Justice League Unlimited series. Supermates would become less regular, but we always intended to make up for lack of regular episodes by blowing it out in the fall, basically doing a quarterly episode over a two-month span.
Right.
quarterly show over a two-month span. Returning to our House of Frankenstein series, where we cover classic-themed horror films and comics featuring superheroes versus classic monsters.
Right.
So that's our history, but how do we celebrate our anniversary? Well, you know, we kicked around several ideas, and, you know, basically all of them involved way too much research.
Yeah, and we're kind of in the lazy part of the day.
And we do enough of that for Justice League. So we thought it would be fun to go back to that original idea of recording our at-home geeky conversations by asking each other five top five questions. We haven't showed each other the questions that we came up with before this.
No.
So Cindy hasn't seen my questions for her, and I haven't seen Cindy's questions for me. So our answer should be off the cuff, and hopefully this won't require a lot of editing on my part.
Oh, good luck with that.
Yeah. So, do you want to go first and ask me your first question?
Sure. Okay. So, as you know, and if you're a friend of mine on Facebook, I've reread about Spock and Zarbeth's son, Zar. I've read that series again. So, here's my question for you, because mm-hmm. we do love Star Trek. What are Kirk's five top love interests? And you can't use Edith Keeler as an answer.
Why wouldn't you use Edith Keeler?
Because this is thinking outside of the box. You can't go with the obvious.
Well, she would be number... Well, she might be number two. But, okay, let me think. So going in backwards order... I gotta stop.
You should have known that this was gonna be a Star Trek question where I just read the Anne Crispin novels again.
Right. Let's see. Well, one of them, I don't know if I'm gonna put them in order. I'm just gonna name them because I don't think I can think off the fly enough to put them in order. But obviously, Carol Marcus would be one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, they had a kid together.
Which is actually mentioned in this novel I just read.
Oh,
quite
really?
A bit throughout. There's a running thread about her.
Okay, there's Carol Marcus. There's Ruth that was in Shore Leave, mm-hmm. you know. There's her. Mirmani, of course.
Mm-hmm.
He was married to her.
Also mentioned in the book.
Yeah, I mean, he might not have remembered exactly, you know, all the particulars of his life when he married her, but he was married to her, so that's three. You can't said I can't do Edith Keeler.
Nope, cannot.
I'm trying to think who got to Kirk. Obviously the one that he just seemed to instantly lose his mind over was, I can't think of her name. She was the, android created by Flint. What's the No Requiem for Methuselah?
Right. She later went on to play on Days of Our Lives.
Yeah, I can't think of the character's name. Everybody's screaming at me, but off the top of my head, I can't think of the character's name. But he was like instantly in love with her for, you know, it's kind of, I didn't really buy it, honestly, but it's, the way he acted, I kind of have to include that one. It's just off the top of my head, of course. But the number one love interest of Captain Kirk, probably that even put above Edith Keeler, is the Enterprise. That's his lady. I mean, when they, in the naked time, when he's, you know, never lose you, you know. And I mean, you know, if you follow that through line, then, you know, it's why he was such a prick to Decker in Star Trek The Motion Picture to
right.
get it back. And he's like, you're messing with my woman, I'm going to get her back. And he, you know, he sacrificed his love to save his brother, Spock, you know. And get his friends out of a jam, you know. So, I mean, I would have to go with the Enterprise. So.
Into a fighting chance to live.
I had a very similar question for you, so while we're on the subject.
Okay.
Because I didn't know you were going to start reading those books when I wrote these. reread those books. So, top five Star Trek romances. You can't include your Spock and Zarbeth, and now you can't include Edith Keeler either, because you did that to me.
Well, you suck all the joy out of life.
Yep. So now this is everybody, not just Captain Kirk.
Okay. No, in no particular order, because you know,
yeah,
this is off the cuff.
Yeah.
Scotty and the girl, you
Lieutenant
know,
Romaine.
Yes.
Yeah.
That they had to put in.
Lights of Zatar.
Yep.
Yeah. When she was possessed.
Yep.
Okay. I figured you'd go there because you got a Scotty thing.
I do have a Scotty thing, which everybody, you know, Chris picks on me about this. Most people are like, oh, Kirk. No offense to Bill Shatner. None at all. But, you know, James Doohan, you know, there's something about him.
Hey, you know, that's fine.
Yeah, I'm allowed.
Okay.
Okay. And I can't use Zarbeth.
Nope.
Can't use Edith Keeler.
Nope.
Okay. What about when McCoy, when they were, I'm awful at remembering titles of episodes, but.
For the world is hollow and I've touched the sky?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, okay.
Yeah. His princess. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, do I have to do classic Star Trek?
No, you can do all Star Trek if you want to.
Okay, good. When she went on and, who is the woman? She went on to play, and then people are going to kill me about this. Oh, Sugar.
What's the character, Star Trek character?
She was in love with Picard.
Yeah.
But she was, she went on the emotions of others. She was, in, you know, and it was a diplomatic marriage.
The one who
became the Phoenix.
Famke Jensen.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes. Famke Jensen.
Yeah. And was it Xenia on the top?
Yes. Xenia on the top.
On the top. And Goldfinger. Yeah. Yes. Goldfinger. Goldfinger. Goldeneye.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't think of the name of that episode, but I know what you're talking about. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you've got that. Then.
That's three.
Yeah, that's three. So, I mean, to me, you know, they did the hard decision. They had to part, even though they didn't want to. But,
right.
You know, she says, there's no greater compliment than saying that I can like myself when I'm with you. Because she automatically takes on the characteristics of those she's around.
Yeah.
And that's who she bonded with, was Picard.
Right.
Okay, what about Khan?
Oh, Khan and... Yeah, his MacGyvers.
Yes.
Marlo MacGyver, yeah.
Because while, to me, I don't think it was a healthy relationship for her.
Yeah.
Because she was so enamored of him and everything else and how he treated her, but it was that all-consuming passion.
But he obviously loved her in his own way. That's one reason why he had such a mad on for revenge was because of her, you know, because she died from the Seti eels.
I've done far worse than kill you. I've hurt you. And I wish to go on hurting you. I shall leave you as you left me. As you left her. Marooned for all eternity in the center of a dead planet. Buried alive. Khan! Khan!
Then what about Troy and Riker?
Oh.
All those years. And, you know, one of the reasons she joined is because she thought she'd be with him. And then, you know, she found her own place. And, you know, she was just like, no, you know, I've got other things I'm going to do now.
Yeah.
And then when they came along with the doppelganger of quote unquote Thomas Riker, you know, where they got separated in the beam, you know, she even realized then that they weren't going to be together. They were two different people.
But then they ended up together.
They ended up together at the end, but that was, to me, I really don't think it would have happened.
Hmm.
I think that was fan service of putting them two together.
Well, it might also be, you know, they were, after they had succeeded in their careers and proven, done what they intended to do, then they could make time to, you know, for each other more, you know, that type of thing, too. Because that happens in life sometimes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's good. I like a good list of answers there, yeah.
Okay, and I think it's hilarious that we both had the same.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. And like I said, I wouldn't have even asked that if I knew you were reading that book, because I would have known you were going there with me. But, you know, I wrote that down before you started rereading those books.
Mm.
So.
Okay. Your top five superhero movies.
Guess another question I got for you. Oh, God.
This is proving how much our minds are linked.
This might not work so well. We've got too much of a... We've been married too long. Got a symbiotic relationship here that's like, share one brain. Superman the movie, hands down, number one. Okay. It's my favorite movie of all time. Not just superhero movie, not just comic book movie. It's, in my opinion, still the best. I don't care what anybody else says. It's still the best. Stupid Dan Brackett show be damned. It's still the best superhero movie. Pardon my French, and I usually don't even say that word. But after that, man, that's when it gets there's so many now, and you got to stop and think. I'm just going to go with my favorites.
Okay.
So I'm going to qualify that because there might be movies that I think are actually better movies, but movies that speak to me personally. And this list would change tomorrow if you asked me, other than Superman the movie. I'd have to say Captain America, the First Avenger, because that's my personal favorite of those films. And a lot of people would think that's like the least of those films. But to me, that's what I wanted to see in a Captain America movie. Mm-hmm. The rest of them are more what I want to see in a Marvel Universe movie. That's a Captain America movie.
Right.
After that, then it gets real sticky. As big of a Batman fan as I am, I mean, I'm not 100% sure they've ever made a Batman movie that completely said, yep, that's it, that's Batman. You know, I mean, I love aspects of Batman 89. I love aspects of Batman Begins and The Dark Knight. Mask of the Phantasm. It's not live action, but it's still a theatrical movie. So I'm going to put that in there. Batman Mask of the Phantasm.
Okay.
So that's three. Then we get really...
And so do you seriously have the same question for me?
Yeah. And then...
I have a little bit more time to think about my answers.
Yeah, because then you can pick different ones, just be different too, if you want to. You know, probably, honestly, I honestly don't think it's hype. I think Avengers Infinity War. I was going to say the original Avengers, but I think Avengers Infinity War really feels like that event comic book. You know, it feels like Infinity War in the comic books, but it feels like Crisis on Infinite Earths more to me, because that's for me, that's the go-to, the standard of cosmic crap's going down and everybody gets involved. Mm-hmm. And it so perfectly balances every character and every story element, and it's just so damn well done. And there's a part of me that's like, well, the first Avengers gave you that thrill of seeing everybody together, but I think Infinity War surpassed it as far as, you know, you went beyond that. So I'd have to pick that one. And then, man, then that's, now it's really getting tricky.
I know, I can say my top three right off the bat, but
yeah,
top 'cause
there's
five,
so many that kind of operate in the same field.
Level, yeah.
The same level there that it's just...
That's what I'm sitting here thinking, okay, what are my next two?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be hard-pressed to, you know, I mean, it's just, I'm trying to think of, I mean, because, you know, I really enjoyed the first two Spider-Man movies, the Tobey Maguire, and I really like Spider-Man 2 better than 1, and that's a contender. Spider-Man Homecoming would be a contender. The other Captain America Civil War would be a huge contender. Would be up there for me. Aquaman and Wonder Woman were really good. Superman 2, of course, is great as well. Wow. This is really tough. I mean, I kind of wondered if you wouldn't ask me, but I wanted to do it on the fly.
Yeah.
So I got to pick one, but I'm just trying to, I have to edit some of this out. I got to pick one, but I'm just trying to think, you know, I mean, honestly, if I had to go outside of my head and say, you know, I said favorites, but if I had to go somewhere that was like a type of movie that really kind of got to me and moved me, and I don't even think you've ever seen this yet. You still haven't watched it. I don't really know if I want to pick it as my fifth one, but I might as well just go ahead and do it because it's different enough to stand out in my mind is Logan, the last Wolverine movie. And I mean, because that, is such a, it's a pretty, it's a very brave movie in a lot of ways, because it goes in places that you would never expect the superhero movie genre to go into.
Right.
And it's really well done, and it's, you know, and I got to give Hugh Jackman a lot of credit for always being great, even when the movies weren't up to what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I would kind of, you know, I mean, I hate to kind of pick that one in a way because I'm not as big of a fan of it, but I'm just trying to, the rest of them are all kind of operating on the same field.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they're all, I like them all, you know, and it's all just kind of, they're all floating in that same ether there. So I'd either pick that one or Captain America Civil War, because there is that, that moment of, you know.
I'm pretty sure you've only named four, though.
No, I named Superman, Captain America, First Avenger, Mask of the Phantasm. Was that the only ones I've named?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, well, I'll say Logan and Captain America Civil War.
How's okay, that? Okay.
I thought I lost count. Okay. Hey, folks, Chris cutting in during the editing phase of this episode. Yeah, we actually did mention five movies. I mentioned Infinity War, Avengers Infinity War, which both Cindy and I forgot. In our defense, we kept getting interrupted a lot in this episode. So we did tell you it was a conversational episode, so we apologize, but yeah. And I don't think we ever come back to it. So yeah, again, apologize. But yeah, Infinity War is definitely up there. Probably much higher than Logan and probably even Captain America Civil War. So yeah, yeah. But you know, the list changes daily, so except for Superman. So there you go.
Everybody stay where you are. Chill the F out. I'm going to ask you this one time. Where is Gamora?
Yeah, I'll do you one better. Who's Gamora?
I'll do you one better. Why is Gamora?
Tell me where the girl is, or I swear to you, I'm going to French fry this little freak.
Let's do it. You shoot my guy, and I'll blast him. Let's go. Do it, Quill. I can take it.
No, he can't take it.
She's right. You can't.
Oh, yeah? You don't want to tell me where she is? That's fine. I'll kill all three of you, and I'll beat it out of Thanos myself. Starting with you.
Wait, what? Thanos? All right, let me ask you this one time. What master do you serve?
What master do I serve? What am I supposed to say, Jesus?
You're from Earth.
Not from Earth, I'm from Missouri.
Yeah, that's on Earth, dipshit. What are you hassling us for?
So you're not with Thanos?
With Thanos? No, I'm here to kill Thanos. He took my girl. Wait, who are you?
We're the Avengers, man.
Right. Okay, now, same question, I guess, for me.
Well, let me make sure that's how I wrote it out. I think okay. So. I'm looking at my secret sheet here. Yeah, top five comic book movies. Yeah.
Okay. Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman, of course. I knew that.
With Gal Gadot. No questions I asked. I mean, when you can get me to get teary-eyed when she's going up over the battlefield, and then everybody, you know, he follows her, and everybody else follows her. I mean, that...
Yeah.
That's it. And then you've got Superman, Christopher Reeve's Superman.
Okay. Superman the movie.
Yeah, Superman the movie.
Okay.
You
don't have to say that just because I'm right here. I'm just, you know, just...
No, I'd tell you the truth.
Okay, all right.
Captain America First Avenger.
Okay.
Because, you know, not only was it... I mean, I like period pieces. I think that's part of it.
Because
mm-hmm. I like things that are set in the past. You mm-hmm. know, like when I'm choosing things for myself to read, that's what I tend... Something that's not current.
Right.
I like things that are, or dystopian, you know, different futures and things like that. That's yeah. my reading. And I think that's one of the reasons that Captain America the First Avenger appeals to me. And not only that, but I like to see origins. How did things get started?
Okay. That's three.
I'd say Into the Spider-Verse.
Okay.
I mean, it is one of those cases. I mean, to me, it's like a comic book come to life.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. I mean, and you've got this kinetic energy, and you've got all of these different motivations that are going on, and then you can see, it's basically all of these what-ifs, and you get to see all of these different what-if universes. What if, you know, Peter Parker, you know, if Uncle Ben had lived? What if, yeah. you know, this is what happened? What if, and I, you know, I always loved the what-if comics when we were growing up.
Yeah.
That was one thing that I, and to me... Into the Spider-Verse is a big what-if movie.
Yeah.
Like, you know, where they all converge.
Yeah, that's true. That's four.
I know. Now the fifth one is where I'm kind of like,
yeah.
Because, I mean, those were just boom, boom, boom. But like you, you know, you've got the whole the Avenger movies, you know, seeing them all come together for the first time, and then, you know, then you've got, you know, Homecoming, which is, again, an origin story, and seeing that come together, and then you've got Michael Keaton, I mean, and he's giving it out, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to have that fifth one.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's, you know, and Aquaman is good, you know. Mm-hmm. One of the new ones. I mean, it's all, those are all,
mm-hmm.
I mean, those are my, I can, like I said, I can name my top four, just boom, 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 boom. But my fifth one, I would have difficulty putting one above the others.
Okay. Well, while you, if you want to think about it, I think I'm going to change my number five from Logan, which I did still really think a lot of, but I got to go with favorite that I'd pop in and rewatch. Now that I think about it, that's getting too far into what I think is a better movie versus my favorite. I would probably pick like Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, the first one. Yeah.
That I think I would pick because that I expected nothing out of that movie other than it was a Marvel movie.
Right, right.
I had no interest in the characters whatsoever, mm-hmm. basically. I barely knew any of them. And I loved it. And I actually kind of think the sequel's a bit better than the first one for me personally. But I kind of just put the two of them together as like the one movie in my head to a point. But I'll pick the first one just because it introduced me to the characters and created that world. And
I can open that up.
So I'd make it the fifth one instead of Logan. I'd bump Logan down some. But
and now I haven't seen Logan yet. Yeah. So, and it's just been a case. I mean, we own it, don't we?
Yeah, I just haven't. I haven't rewatched it. It's not a fun movie. You know, it's not the type of movie you want to pop in and rewatch a bunch of times.
Well, and it's a movie that we can't watch when Danny's awake, and I'm such a sleepyhead. So
yeah, no.
Because you've told me what happens and everything.
Yeah, because you asked me to. Yeah.
Yeah, because I knew this would happen. I mean, how long has it been out? And I still haven't.
It's been out for a couple
of
years now. Yeah.
Okay. So.
Okay.
Can I say I'm not sure?
I guess you could just pick one, you know, that this, what Marvel movie did you just have like the most fun at that you, you know,
I'd say Homecoming.
Homecoming. Yeah.
Which means I know that's two Spider-Man movies, but
no, that's okay. I was Homecoming's right up there with me too. I mean, the fact that they use the animated opening theme in the beginning just sold me just like crazy. So yeah, I could go with that either. Basically this is a very wishy-washy answer from both of us, but you know. You know, we should have said top three and then the list, you know.
But you said five.
I'm just trying to stick because of a five-year anniversary.
Oh, okay.
Hello, miss. Would you like to buy an ice cream?
Me?
Yeah, that's your ice cream.
Yes. Thank you.
8 minutes, please, sir.
There you go, pal. Keep the change.
Thank you very much, sir.
What do you think?
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
You should be very proud.
Thank you very much.
You should be very proud.
Okay.
So that's your turn.
Name your top five Robins.
Top five Robins?
Top five Robins.
How many are there?
think about it.
All the different alternate.
Yeah.
Like different iterations of it.
Yeah.
So not just like Dick Grayson, but the Dick Grayson of this version of Dick Grayson.
And you got to think about Stephanie Brown, Carrie Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Okay. Well, I would pick...
And you know what, you know, animated versus comic book, and you know that it really is open to interpretation there.
Well, my number one would be Dick Grayson Robin.
Which version?
I would go with Earth One Dick Grayson Robin to start out with. I mean, Earth One slash, you know, modern, but I guess really more the Earth One Dick Grayson that was Robin, that was the Teen Wonder Robin,
uh-huh.
that was Nightwing in his disco outfit, you know, up through that. And I mean, even into the post-crisis, but pre-New 52, pre-Flashpoint, I'd lump them together. But, you know, that version of Dick Grayson would be number one. Number two would be Tim Drake from the comics. The Tim Drake that was before he was Red Robin, when he was Robin. You know, because I think Tim was, you know, he was a, you know, very interesting character that was initially quite different from Dick Grayson. They, you know, they had a different personality. He was more of a intellectual, that not that Dick was not intellectual, but he was more of the, you know, tech savvy, brainy guy. The physical stuff didn't come quite as easy to him, which made sense. He wasn't raised as a circus acrobat like Dick was. And, you know, when Chuck Dixon wrote Robin, I mean, he was like the best young hero book since, you know, Leon Ditko aged Peter Parker out of, you know, high school. Yeah. So, that'd be number two. Number three, I would pick, kind of surprised I didn't pick him as number two, but honestly, just because he didn't get enough exposure, was the Earth 2 version of Dick Grayson, Robin. Because, you know, I love that look. I love the costume. I love the fact that he, you know, grew up, stayed Robin, but he had that unfortunate, you know, I still love it, but it's so goofy and kind of ugly, that Batman-Robin hybrid outfit.
Yeah.
Then he got the awesome Neil Adams design, Earth 2 Robin, and he's the co-star of my favorite single comic book of all time, Brave and the Bold number 182, the interlude on Earth 2 story by Alan Brennert and Jim Aparo. Mm-hmm. So I got to pick him. Number four, I would probably pick the original Jason Todd in his pre-Robin costume that he should have kept.
Mm-hmm.
That was in Detective 526.
You can also pick live action stuff. So that's
okay. Well, I can't separate. To me, Earth One Dick Grayson is Burt Ward.
Okay.
So I can't separate them in my mind. That's him. So when I pick him as number one, that's Burt Ward.
Okay.
So that they're the same character to me. Partially because Burt Ward was like perfectly cast as Robin, and then George Perez, even like when he was doing New Teen Titans, he keyed off of like an older Burt Ward as Robin. So I can't.
I'll be honest. That's the reason I said that. I was like, does he realize? Because I figured Burt Ward would be in there somewhere.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm saying Burt Ward.
I know. But that's the reason I clarified.
I mean, Chris O'Donnell was okay, but he's not. You know, there's.
Oh like, no.
No, I'm not. You know, he didn't make enough of an impression on me to put in there. Lauren Lester animated Robin Nightwing, I'd put in there as well. I'll tell you this. Now that you've said that, I'll make Lauren Lester number three. So Dick Grayson, animated Dick Grayson, Nightwing. You know, Dick Grayson, Robin, and into Nightwing. Plus, we met Lauren Lester, and he was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So he's number. That's number four, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So number four, yeah. So I've got Dick Earth One Dick / Burt Ward. I've got. Tim, comic book Tim. I've got Earth 2 Robin, member of the JSA and everything. I've got Lauren Lester, DC Animated Universe, Dick Grayson, Nightwing, Robin. So number five, I was going to say pre-crisis Jason Todd.
Mm-hmm.
That's who, yeah, pre-crisis Jason Todd. Because I know that his origin was like Dick Grayson's. It was supposed to be like Dick Grayson's fault. It was supposed to be the irony of the fact that history was repeating itself. That was built into the story. When people, I saw a thing the other day about Robins on some YouTube video that I shouldn't have watched because it just makes me angry because people don't do their damn research. And, you know, but I mean, I know we're flying off the cuff and talking about Star Trek things. We can't remember the character names, but we told you this is off the cuff conversation. Mm-hmm. They were like, well, he had an origin just like Dick Grayson. Well, yeah, that was the point. That was the idea that history was repeating itself, that these events were happening again. And Jerry Conway and Don Newton and those guys that were, and Gene Colan that were doing the Batman books, that was the point of it at the time. And I really dug that Don Newton costume he designed for him that he only wore really before he became officially Robin. And I wish he kept it. And I think if he had kept it, that would have gave Jason a distinct identity, and you wouldn't have ever had to redo his origin, and you wouldn't have ever had to kill him. They wouldn't have, he was just looked as a Dick Grayson cipher, you know, because when they gave Tim his own outfit and his, then it worked. So, but yeah, that was, I think that's five, isn't it? Yeah, that's five. So this is very rambly.
Oh yeah, it's okay.
Holy fly paper.
Okay, hit me.
We've spent a lot of time at amusement parks in the past, we started in 2012 when we first went to Disney World. So the past 7 years, we've been to Disney four times and Universal twice.
Mm-hmm.
So what are your top five rides at Disney / Universal?
Oh, golly. Okay.
Now, it's at Disney and or Universal. So you can go all Disney or you can go Universal.
Now, it has to be ride, not attraction, right?
Attraction, whatever. Ride, attraction, whatever.
I mean...
It doesn't have to be a ride.
I'd have to say, as far as experience and stuff like that, I'd say my favorite was when the kids, we went to Ollivander's and did the experience where the kids got their wands.
Right, yeah.
I mean, that to me was, that was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, because the kids got their wands and they talked
about
how
they're ceremony.
In a private ceremony. And they talked about how they're connected and they're supposed to look out for each other. And I mean, to me, that was the highlight of that particular
best
trip.
Sales pitch ever.
Yeah. I could not get my credit card out quick enough.
They just sold $100 worth of wands.
120.
120, whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, wow. Okay. Yeah, no, that was really cool. You're right. Okay.
The other, the next one would probably be when Danny did the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo boutique. When we went and did that. That was two, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we didn't have a reservation to start with for it, but we went in there and we saw where a friend of ours, we actually saw them down there and their daughter had done it. And Danny's like, oh, you know, I had no idea that she would want to do it.
Right.
And then, thanks to Disney Magic, they made an appointment for Danny.
Yeah.
And seeing Danny, I mean, she was all dolled up. And I mean, our daughter is not one of these that does that. I mean, she could care less. I mean, if we didn't tell her to take a shower, she probably do it like every 3 days. But, you know, she loved it. I mean, she was getting pampered. She had all this stuff up. And I mean, the look on her face when they turned her around and she saw and she was like, you know, yeah. I mean, that would, you know, be one of the great experiences, I think, you know, as far as Disney. That was my favorite there, as far as experience. And then, let's see. Okay, the first time we went to Universal and I got you on the Escape to Gringotts ride. I mean, we were in line and I kind of knew it was a roller coaster, but at that point, Christopher did not like roller coasters.
No, I've opened up a lot. This last trip, I really did.
Yeah, you did. You did. But it was one of those cases, I'm like, you know, I knew about all the queue lines and everything else. And, you know, I was like, gotta ride this ride. And I mean, I'm just, he's like, what's going on? What are they talking about?
Well, we were running to it because we got in the park early that day because of where we stayed on property.
Mm-hmm.
And that in Universal Studios proper is, you know, because it's in Diagon Alley.
Right.
And, or Dagum Alley, as I say.
And that's a way to get punched.
We're going
to
go Dagum Alley. But anyway, So we're running to the ride, and I'm like, what are we doing? What is this ride? What are we? And I had not, now I've seen all the Harry Potter movies.
Yes.
But at that time, I had not seen all the Harry Potter movies. I didn't have any idea what we were getting into. And, you know, then I get out, I've mentioned this before on the show, but we're in line, and we're going through all this stuff, and then there's this, you know, really cool projection. Looks like they're standing there, but it's Bill Weasley. Mm-hmm. Bill Weasley, who's played by the guy that plays General Hux in the Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
Can't think of the actor's name off the top of my head, but him and Warwick Davis is the goblin guy,
mm-hmm,
are standing there, and they're telling me that it's like, this is a ride that's this, you know, that if you have heart problems and blah, 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 you may not want to ride this. And I'm like, what the hell are you getting me on? And I'm like, well, I'm here already. So I was like, but I mean, you know, it was great. I loved it. And I rode the other Harry Potter ride, and we rode them again this last year. And
yeah.
And so, yeah, it was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Okay. I'd say another experience that I loved is when you and Danny went to Legoland, Andrew and I went to Disney Springs.
Yeah.
And he and I did The Void, which is an immersive virtual reality game where, you know, it looks like you're on the planet and everything else.
It's a Star Wars.
It's a Star Wars virtual reality game. Being on there and having Andrew say, come on, Mom, you know, me helping him and, you know, stuff like that, that connection. I mean, that's something that, you know, you don't get. And I mean, to me, it was worth every stinking penny.
Yeah.
It was totally worth every penny because he still talks about that.
Yeah.
I mean,
he still wears
really
the ball cap from that you got there. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, he wears the bracelet. Pretty much every day. And I mean, that's something you don't see every day because, you know, we're in the sullen teenage years, and so, you know.
Yeah, it's like when he met Kevin Conroy.
You know,
it's like actually, yeah. Yeah. Is that four or five?
I don't know.
I mean, let's see. You had We really need to write this down. But
I know. The wand experience. Wand experience. Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo.
Yeah.
The void.
Gringotts. You know, Gringotts. You got one more. You got one more.
There's
one more early on experience we had that where we got picked for something that I'm surprised you didn't say.
Well, I know. Think about this. The only experience that we're talking about that I was actually a part of.
Yeah.
That, you know, that I'm not just looking in. My favorite memories of the parks are the things that I got to watch you all do.
Oh, yeah.
Because on one experience, you have Enchanted Tales with Belle. And when we were going through, you know, they picked the soldiers and they picked Chris and Andrew. And then they had people audition to be the Beast. And Danny had the best roar. And so she got to be the Beast. And I mean, I have the whole video of the whole thing. And I mean, unfortunately, part of it sideways because I wasn't thinking about that it wouldn't correct itself. But that was the first time I had a smartphone,
yeah,
you know, when we did that. But just the wonder on
she
her
got
face.
To dance with Belle.
She got to dance with Belle. And I mean,
it was like something really literally out of one of those Disney commercials.
Yeah. I mean, just.
Yeah.
But that is true, though. My favorite memories.
Yeah.
Are the ones where, you know, you all, except for me playing the void game with Andrew, but it's your all's reactions. I just, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, well, some of mine would be too. Yeah, that's true. Well, that's good. Okay. Well.
And I don't think that any of those were rides except for Gringotts.
Except Gringotts, no. I mean, that's the thing.
That's
I mean,
thing.
You know, that's the thing that those parks, that's the thing you don't get at a lot of these other just amusement parks. You don't get that immersive, that extra element of the being in the fantasy, and that's what sets them apart, and that's what makes them worth it to us. You know that you're in that world.
Yeah.
You know. So, and then of course, you know, next year they'll have the Star Wars, Galaxy's Edge, which you're right in the middle of that. So that's gonna be awesome.
Expecto Patronum.
Okay. So tell me your top five vampire flicks.
Okay. Of course, you know, House of Frankenstein makes sense, which I've got a question for you.
Of course.
Related to that. Let's see. Well, Horror of Dracula, first Hammer Dracula, that'd be number one. That's my favorite Dracula movie. And I know it's not just Dracula movies we're talking about. A lot of Hammer. Twins of Evil.
Okay.
That would be one. And I, you know, between Twins of Evil and Vampire Lovers, but I actually think Twins of Evil is a better movie.
And this doesn't have to be movies that we've covered.
I know.
I will say that.
I know.
Okay.
I know. I'm just, most of the ones that I like, we've covered, you know. Return of the Vampire, which is the Bela Lugosi. I think that's the superior movie to Dracula, honestly. So that's three. Let's see. I like the Frank Langella Dracula. I like parts of the Francis Ford Coppola Dracula. The House of Dark Shadows, the movie that they made when they were making the TV show, because that's a really good. I mean, it's a little too fast paced. They try to cram too much of the Barnabas storyline into it, but it's really good. It's as a standalone movie, it's good, and it's really creepy and kind of brutal. So that's a good one. And then you were talking about this earlier today, Near Dark.
Yes.
That's a really good one. And that's
I'd
one we
like to
covered.
See that.
Yeah, I haven't seen it
I'm
in years.
Trying to track down a copy of it, but right now it's out of print.
Yeah.
And the cheapest I've found it is $50.
Yeah, that's too much. But to buy it. But they might be able to rent it or something.
True.
Streaming or something. But yeah, I'd say that, you know, there's other ones that'll pop in my head later, like, oh, wait, I didn't think of this one. But, you know. But yeah, the Langella Dracula is really good, and I really like that. And like I said, I like the Francis Ford Coppola, but that's a good mix.
The study of these creatures has been my life's work. I've carried out research with some of the greatest authorities in Europe, and yet we've only just scratched the surface. You see, a great deal is known about the vampire bat. But details of these reanimated bodies of the dead, the undead, as we call them, are so obscure that many biologists will not believe they exist. Of course, you're shocked and bewildered. How can you expect to understand in so short a time? But you've read and experienced enough to know that this unholy cult must be wiped out. I hope perhaps that you'll help me.
Okay, now you said it didn't have to be a House Frankenstein movie, but my next question for you is top five films we've covered on House Frankenstein.
And did we do this that we have such similar things? I mean, pretty much every single question we have asked each other, with the exception of the Robin question.
In the Disney rides.
Yeah. But I'm saying, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
So those are all the ones we've done over the years. We've done 20 movies because we've done it for 5 years.
Okay.
And so pick the top five out of that you either the movie you like the best or the discussion we had the best.
Well, why don't I do my favorite one from each year because it's 5 years.
Okay. All right.
So in 2014, we covered Bride of Frankenstein.
Bride of Frankenstein.
What'd I say?
Frankenstein.
Did I really?
You're the Bride of Frankenstein.
This is true. The Horror of Dracula from 58, The Wolfman, and The Monster Squad. So I'd say my favorite from 2014 would be The Monster Squad, simply because I have nostalgia for it myself.
Okay.
Because I remember watching that when I was a kid.
Okay. All right.
From 2015... The Vampire Lovers, Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman, The Mummy from 59, and Return of the Vampire. Honestly, I'd say my favorite one of that was The Vampire Lovers. From 2016, House of Frankenstein, Curse of the Werewolf, Dracula, and Curse of Frankenstein. And I'd say it's Dracula from 79 with Langella.
Okay. All right.
Because, you know, I like my Dracula with a little bit of romance thrown in there, too. Mm-hmm. You know, that's me. I know disagree.
No, but, I really like that movie a lot. I think that's right at the limit. That's as romantic as I ever want Dracula getting.
Okay. From 2017, Creature from the Black Lagoon, Twins of Evil, House of Dracula, and then Dr. Fives.
The Abominable Dr. Fives.
Yes. Obviously, that is not going to be my choice.
That's your least favorite of all of them.
I mean, And whoever was that sent you a copy of that Dr. Fives.
The sequel?
Yes. I forgot who it was that sent that to you.
That was Martin Gray, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, it's Martin.
Martin, I owe you, but just know I owe you. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we actually got to meet the creature from the Black Lagoon this past year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to me, I love
Riku Browning. Yeah.
Riku Browning. He's such a nice gentleman. I appreciate that. I love the storytelling in that. So that would be my favorite of that.
Okay. All right.
From 2018, we have Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein, Silver Bullet, The Brides of Dracula, and Sleepy Hollow. For me, that would be kind of hard between Silver Bullet or Sleepy Hollow.
Mm.
So I really like both of those. Silver Bullet, it's got some cheesy to it, but I remember the first time I watched it, honestly being, you know, being shocked that it was the preacher. And then Sleepy Hollow is cool and, you know, over the top and everything else. So,
yeah.
You know, but I'd have a hard time choosing between those two.
Mm, okay. Well, I would, if I was you, I'd just go with Sleepy Hollow because the bear.
True.
The bear wolf.
And the fact that the kid tried to shoot I'm sorry, it's still Ray Utley. Marksmanship 101. You go for the bigger target. You go for the torso. I'm sorry. My father raised me right.
Okay.
Kick him in the nose! Kick him in the nose!
He doesn't have nose!
Do it!
Wolfman's got nards!
So now you got one for me, right?
Yes. Okay. This is my last one.
This is your last one. Okay.
Your top five Justice League characters. So this ties into what we're doing now.
Yeah.
Not including the top seven.
Oh, not the main seven.
Yeah. Okay.
So a Justice League Unlimited question more, which we haven't got to yet. Okay. Well, so this is just going by the version on the show.
Yes, because, this is strictly Timverse.
Right, Timverse. Okay. Vigilante.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Green Arrow.
Okay.
The Question.
Mm-hmm. I knew he'd be down there.
Yeah, those three are pretty... this is all going to be like people that were in our action figure list, basically. What it
oh, yeah, to, true, true.
We did that on Wonderful Toys.
That's what it was. That's what I knew we had done it, but I couldn't remember
what. So those three. Black Canary. Let's see. Who is the next one that I really just, when they showed up, I'm like, yeah, you know. I'd go with Aquaman because of the fact that that version of hook-handed Aquaman is just the best version of hook-handed Aquaman.
Right, and why he became right, hook-handed
exactly,
Aquaman.
Exactly. That's right. So I'm going with him because he didn't count amongst the original seven founding members.
I know,
and he was on Justice League Unlimited later. So that's my, there we go. That's my list.
Okay.
Black Canary.
Green Arrow. I've noticed you around.
I know. You happy punching the bag or you want to go a few rounds with me? I am talking about sparring.
That'd be nice, too.
All right, so the final top five list for you. Top five favorite Wonder Woman collectibles.
Oh.
Because we did cover that on Super.
Yeah, that's true.
So your top favorite ones.
Okay. Hot Toys Gal Gadot.
Okay, the one you got.
Yes, the one I've got.
Yeah.
That's
the BVS version.
Right. Which, you know, there's not a big enough difference, you know.
Not.
But the facial sculpt, I like it better than the one they came out with for the Wonder Woman movie. I'd have to say my Wonder Tot Super Juniors pool marionette.
Okay.
I love that. I mean, it's just cute.
Yeah.
It's cute.
Yeah.
The new 6-inch. Linda Carter figure that you got me for Christmas.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah, the DC Multiverse.
Freaking cool.
Yeah, that's a really good likeness, too.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's
three.
I know. I almost want to go in there and look in my case and be, you know, make sure, because I'm like, there's so many things that I love.
Sure, there's a Barbie Wonder Woman in there somewhere.
I would say that my favorite Barbie Wonder Woman is the one they came out with in 99. I like that version better.
The Barbie for what it's like Wonder Woman for President in the background of the box.
Yeah, I love that one. That I love her, how she's made and everything else. I've got several versions of her.
Yeah.
I had one made of her as Diana Prince. I had one made. I had one made like that.
Yeah.
So
used a costume and made a Storm as the Amazon from the Amalgam. Yeah.
Yeah. Gosh, this is hard.
You only got one more.
I know. I mean, you know what I really think's cool, and I don't know if you would consider it a collectible per se, because it's not figural, is Russell Burbage is a friend of ours, and I hope he listens to this, but he sent me the Japanese ad from the Gal Gadot movie.
Yeah, like a little
I love that.
Cardstock
that is so cool.
Poster,
yeah.
It's like 8x10, yeah.
I mean, there's something about the image on that where she's walking out and everything. I love that.
Yeah.
I don't know if you would consider that.
That's collectible.
Because, you know, it's not figural. But,
well,
you know,
we covered the figural, but it's still Wonder Woman collectible, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you are doing figural, then I would say the Linda Carter Hallmark ornament that they came out with a couple years ago that plays the theme song.
Okay.
So I'd say that, you know, that would be my five.
Cool. All right.
So, you know, that's, and again, thank you again, Russell.
Yeah. Yeah, Russell just sent us the Aquaman poster.
I know,
like that
that's
too.
Awesome.
So Russell's an awesome guy, which we have plans to podcast with Russell in the future.
Yes, definitely.
Yes. Well, I guess that'll do it. That'll do it for our top five questions. Like I said, very conversational. As soon as we get done with this, and Raina was the name of the android. I did look it up in the middle of it. We'd had to take a break for reasons, and I did look it up. And I started to say Raina, something like that, and it was Raina. And I think that's from something to do with the guy that created the term robot, Raina K-Peck or something. It's something to do. I think her last name was K-Peck, and that was the name of the guy that created the term robot.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a Russian writer or something, if I remember right. So again, this was all off, completely off the top of our head. But yes, like We had like three of the questions almost match exactly.
I know. Oh, that's just, that tells you about how much kismet and osmosis go on.
I mean, we've been together for 28 years almost. So, I mean, well, we have been since we started hanging out.
Yeah.
The 28 years.
Since 91.
Since early 91 when we started like hanging out together and stuff. So, yeah, I mean.
We started hanging out in January. Our first kiss was in March of 91.
Yeah.
So.
And we didn't start dating officially till June.
Well, it's
because
kinda...
somebody didn't want to dump their crappy boyfriend.
Shh, don't tell that.
And she went and fixed me up with another girl to try to
occupy me. Shut up!
And got jealous. That's fine. It's high school, honey. It's okay.
Yeah, we were high school sweethearts.
Yeah, I think it, most people know. But so there you go. So thanks to everyone who listened over the last 5 years. We really appreciate the great support. We'd also like to thank all of our guests who stopped by and joined us on the show from the Fire and Water Network and beyond, and to our kids, Andrew and Danny, who have been on a lot of episodes. Supermates will return, at least in the fall, if not sooner.
Right.
One of these days, I'd like to figure out a way for us to get back to doing Starman.
I know.
Really enjoy covering that book, but it is so dense that it's not something you can just, like, you gotta dig in and you gotta,
exactly,
you know, and there's all the shade journal in the back, which is almost impossible to read. And I mean, it's just...
Anymore, especially where I need to get bifocals, I'm just like, what's this say?
Yeah.
Like, oh my goodness.
I mean, I really would like to get back to it. I keep trying to figure out a way that we can do it, but I don't want to short shrift it either, so...
Right, and Diablo Frank got us that great opening.
I know. And it's like, we got used it like twice, and it, you know,
I know. And we truly, truly appreciate
that.
Yeah. You know.
But one of these days, I'd really like to get back to it. We will return. And in the meantime, you can find Cindy and I on JLUcast and me on the in-production Superman 2 Movie Minute and Batman Nightcast, which Ryan and I are recording. We're just, you know, bundling them together so we can put out a bunch at once and not have big gaps between them. So we are working on them, folks. But again, thanks everybody for listening. We appreciate you listening to our ramblings.
Yeah. Well, it's lots of ramblings, especially today. But, you know.
Yeah. But
these are the conversations. This gives you some insight into the conversations that we have. And like when we're going down the road, especially with the kids and stuff like that. And we're like, hey, what do you think about blah, blah, blah. And then, you know.
Yeah. So this is more of a true to life episode of Supermates. So.
Yeah.
So we hope you enjoyed it. And again, thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
Supermates is a Franklin and Franken production in association with Bugaloo Enterprises Worldwide. And is a proud member of the Fire and Water Podcast Network. The characters and properties mentioned in this show are copyright their respective holders. Likewise, all audio clips are copyright their holders and no infringement is implied. So please don't sue my mommy and daddy. Emails can be sent to supermatespodcast@gmail.com.
Comments can be left at supermatescomic.blogspot.com or by visiting fireandwaterpodcast.com. Find us on Facebook by searching for Supermates and FW Podcast Network. Follow us on Twitter by using the hashtag FW Podcast.
Please consider leaving a review on iTunes. Thank you for listening to Supermates, the husband and wife geek cast.
am vengeance. I am the knight. I am
you
Batman.
You need to take out the trash.
I don't have time for that now. We have two podcasts I have to create a new promo for.
What? Both JLUcast and Supermates?
Yes. JLUcast, where you and I discussed the Justice League and Justice League Unlimited animated series from Bruce Timm and company.
And Supermates, our original show where we talk about all sorts of geeky stuff, including our annual House of Frankenstein series on classic horror films. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's it. But how do we combine this into one promo?
I have no idea, but it sounds like we're doing our original Supermates promo all over again.
I kind of think we are, but hey, other folks kind of aped it, so it must have worked.
Well, why don't you get to work taking out the trash and I'll finish up.
Great.
So join us, Cindy.
And Chris.
On JLUcast and Supermates, both proudly part of the Fire and Water Podcast Network, found at fireandwaterpodcast.com and on iTunes.